Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Look at them. Bev motioned to her daughter sitting on the sidewalk playing a game of jacks with some friends. You know, for third graders, they're really very accommodating to Annabelle. Sometimes, mused Bev's friend Carmen, when one child has a disability, other children empathize. Well, Helena has been so good with her younger sister, Bev noted. She always takes the time to help with tasks Annabelle just can't complete on her own. They're so devoted to each other, she cooed. Carmen was watching as Helena carefully scooped up the jacks, wrapped her sister's hand around them, and then pried her fingers back open so the jacks fell and scattered on the sidewalk. Does she ever get to play with her friends without having Annabelle along? She asked. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about siblings of children with disabilities? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest works full-time with children and their families, children with all sorts of problems. Robin Winston is a certified therapeutic recreation specialist at the Hospital for Sick Children, a 60-bed rehabilitation hospital in Washington, D.C. With patients ranging in age from 2 through 18, Robin works on socialization, self-esteem, community reintegration, school reentry, cognition, and sensory stimulation. Her patients have a variety of diagnoses, including cerebral palsy, spina bifida, traumatic brain injury, autism, Down syndrome, and burns. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Robin.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
How are children affected by having a brother or sister with a disability?
Nobody, not even parents, really understand how hard it is to be a sibling with a child with disabilities. Often siblings feel very sad. Maybe they can't really relate to their sibling as well as they might want to. Maybe their sibling who has a disability gets more attention or more time from their parents that they might really want. Often siblings of children with disabilities overcompensate, maybe to gain acceptance and attention. Maybe just try a little bit harder. Maybe just try to do anything that their parents, so their parents can give them attention.
Are these kids who then try to succeed more academically?
It could be academically, and it can also be the other extreme. Maybe the sibling will want to go to the other end and maybe just be basically a problem child. I hate to use that word, but basically a child that maybe gets in trouble at school, maybe has a hard time socializing with his peers. It just depends. It can go in either way.
So it's not unusual for the siblings to make a plea for attention in any way they can
Definitely
figure out.
Definitely not, because often the parent's giving the child with a disability a lot more attention than the other children. And, of course, the children without the needs, they're children, so they, of course, need attention just like their peers without disabilities.
So it makes the case for multiple parents in this kind of situation,
Definitely,
doesn't it?
That's true.
You need a lot of parents.
Yep. Some other concerns that siblings may have is over-identification, and what that is basically maybe the sibling's fearing that maybe they'll develop the same condition as their sibling. So that's also very frustrating and upsetting for the child.
And they don't say so. It
right,
just comes
exactly.
Out.
Some other things are maybe some pressure to achieve academically or in sports or in school, just so maybe they don't put extra things on the parents' plate because they know that the parents are already dealing with a lot of stuff. Sometimes you'll see resentment with the children who have disabilities. Maybe just because the parent's focus is on that child rather than the entire family as a whole. And also, sometimes the siblings are concerned about their brother or sister and their future. Like, they don't know what's going to happen to them. Maybe when their parents aren't there anymore, maybe they're going to have to take care of them. That's a big responsibility for them to have to focus on and listen to.
Now, that sounds like a huge issue.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But also, on the brighter side, they're not always affected negatively. There are some positive aspects. These aspects are siblings will become more mature. They'll take a lot of pride in their siblings' abilities. They'll be proud of them when they overcome different obstacles. And they'll also appreciate their good health, that not everyone is as fortunate as they may be. Also, I just wanted to say that being the one without the disability is also tough, obviously, because with no fault of their own, they're expected to deal with maybe a family that isn't like regular family.
The kind that their classmates and friends
exactly,
have.
Yeah, exactly.
They're different.
Yeah.
Or that they see on television.
Right, exactly. The Brady Bunch or something.
Right.
They may be afraid that their friends will be embarrassed of their siblings. They may not accept them just because they're sibling. Also, they will need special attention. So pretty much there are positive and negatives, but no matter what, the children are affected by having a brother or sister with a disability.
So it sounds like when a child comes into a hospital, like the Hospital for Sick Children, and there's a problem, the whole family really needs to be
exactly
seen.
Definitely. That's exactly right.
What steps can be taken to help these siblings cope with the special needs that this begins to have?
Okay, just as parents are able to network, so should children. They should also be able to. There's this thing called SIB Shops, and what that is it's a program for siblings of children with disabilities, and it's all over the country. There's also a website that I can give in a little while we can talk about. And basically what SIB Shops are just a chance where siblings can get together with other siblings to network, just as parents often network with different parents who are also going through the same thing. It's nice for children to be able to meet these kids and discuss their similar stories and experiences. There are many, many benefits to SIB Shops. And a few benefits are it can reduce the sibling's sense of isolation, because often, obviously, they feel isolated, like the parents are giving all the attention to the sibling with a disability, and maybe they have a sense of isolation. So that's also very, very important, so they won't feel isolated. Because it's such a casual atmosphere, it can promote informal sharing. So basically, all the kids are there in the same boat, so they can all discuss their feelings. And the children will realize that other kids are going through that, and the coordinator can focus on how to solve these problems and how to cope with these different issues. The activities in the SIB Shops should be fun and exciting, just so the siblings will realize that it is not just a chore to go, it's something where they want to be there and they'll return in the future and be motivated to participate.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about the siblings of children with disabilities.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Robin Winston about siblings of children with disabilities. What kind of age ranges does this serve?
Ages usually between 8 and 13, but it can be adapted for younger and older.
Do they isolate the younger kids together and the older kids? I can imagine a 13-year-old
right,
saying,
we'll go through
why?
Different things, you know? Than a 5-year-old, definitely. And my experience working at SIB Shops, I did a lot of work with them, and it's been a very, very positive experience. The kids come in, and they're very kind of like just isolated and maybe just not really sure what's going to happen. We do a lot of icebreakers just to get everyone to know each other so everyone feels comfortable. We then do different discussions, different brainstorming exercises, different activities to really just get them to really speak what's on their mind, because often at home they really can't do that because their parents and siblings might be busy with a sibling with a disability. They also can learn how to handle other situations that maybe they didn't really know by learning from their peers at SIB Shops. So it really is a great thing. It's usually 4 hours long, and it's a mixture of fun and also serious discussion.
And these kinds of things are sponsored by local hospitals?
Yes,
where
exactly.
Kids come.
Different hospitals. The hospital that I work at does not currently have a SIB Shop, but there are many hospitals around this area and around most areas around the country that there are SIB Shops.
Robin, would you say there are any benefits derived from being the brother or sister of a person with a disability?
Yes, I definitely think there are. There are definitely positive aspects of being the sibling of a brother or sister with a disability. Often growing up with a sibling, they will instill a greater understanding of how it is that everyone is not the same. There are people with disabilities, and they'll be able to benefit from being able to work with them, being able to understand them, and also develop great leadership skills.
It's interesting. Do these kids have a more deep-rooted sense of empathy?
Definitely. They sure do, just because they see the sibling every day and they realize all the hardships and the obstacles that they do have to overcome just to do simple, simple things. For example, maybe a child who is in a wheelchair right now, just to even, say, go to the bathroom, whereas most people could just simply go to the bathroom. A child in a wheelchair will have to transfer, and it just takes, everything takes a lot longer. And that sibling will realize that you have to be patient because not everyone has the same capabilities as everyone else.
Does this transfer into their social relationships with their peers, the siblings, you know, being friendly or being kind?
A lot more patient, I think, just because they do deal with it every day. They're maybe initiate a lot of interaction with all different people. very sensitive, very caring, very compassionate, very patient.
It would be very interesting to follow these kids, wouldn't it, to see what professions they end up in.
Definitely.
Whether it's heavier on the helping professions
right, definitely,
than normal.
Definitely, that would be interesting.
What are some positive actions that parents can take with their children when there's a sibling with a disability, when they have the 2 seconds when they're not dealing with a
exactly.
job with a disability?
And hopefully it will be more than 2 seconds because obviously the other children do need time and caring and attention just like the child with a disability does. Parents have to remember that their siblings, maybe they are totally normal functioning, but they also are children. Parents can't rely on the child to do all the caregiving needs that maybe they just don't want to do. Obviously, the children will help, but then again, they are children, so they need to be able to do what other kids do. It's really important for parents to ask the kids, the siblings, what's on their mind, how are they feeling. They need to express their emotions because a lot of times the kids just have built-up emotions that just keep building up and there's nothing being solved there. It's really important for parents to keep the siblings involved in decision-making, especially if the decisions affect the entire family.
Can you give an example of that?
Definitely. A family is planning a family vacation, and obviously the sibling wants to go maybe to an amusement park or something. But then again, a child with a disability who perhaps is confined to a wheelchair temporarily or maybe permanently, maybe the amusement park isn't so accessible. Maybe they'll have a hard time transferring onto getting onto rides. So really, like, obviously, you just have to take everyone's opinion into consideration. And it's also very important to give the sibling information about the child's disability because obviously they need to learn sometime. Best, I would say, and from my experience and research that I've done, to tell the child maybe around the age of 5 or 6 just slowly about the child's disability. Maybe your sister was born prematurely and because of that maybe a few things went wrong with her brain, so that is why that she maybe is a little bit slow in doing this. It's also really important for parents to discuss with a sibling maybe not so much the child's limitations but also their abilities, because obviously abilities are also very, very important, and it's good to focus more on the positive rather than the negative aspects.
What are some of the differences in the issues that arise at different ages, both as the siblings get older and as the child with the problems ages?
The best time to tell a sibling about a child with a disability, like their brother or sister, is usually around the age of 5 or 6. At that age, obviously, the child is going to be very confused, maybe anxious, afraid, angry, just not really understanding exactly what's going on. And obviously, the younger the child, the more difficult it is to speak about their sibling.
Could you be explaining to the 5-year-old about a child who is indeed older than he or she is?
Yep, definitely. Okay. In some cases, maybe the person with a disability is, say, 17 years old. And there's a sibling that is maybe 2 siblings. One is 8 and one is 23.
The parents would have to tell the 8-year-old something very different.
Exactly.
Than they would, and the 23-year-old would probably understand the facts, but maybe not understand how the dynamics are going to change.
Right, exactly. And it's also important for parents to tell the kids maybe how the sibling's going to be treated, what they're going to go through, what to expect. Maybe they won't be in this wheelchair forever. Maybe after their surgery, then they'll move to a walker, and then soon they'll be able to walk independently. And it's also very important for parents to talk about just how to interact with their brother or sister, because maybe it's not the same as their older brother or younger brother that they used to interact with. Maybe it just takes a little bit more patience and understanding and caring.
And I think your point earlier that this is not necessarily something that will happen to this young child.
Right, exactly.
And that this child didn't cause it.
Right.
A lot of things that we would think would be quite obvious.
Right, but they just don't understand because they don't understand why they are so perfect, but then their brother has all these disabilities and problems. And sometimes they blame themselves. At the hospital, I was actually just speaking to a child and her 13-year-old sister. And basically, just to set the stage, the child has cerebral palsy, and basically she was just telling me all about that it's not really all fun and games. Like, obviously there are some perks and some benefits. Maybe they get to park in a special parking lot or park in a special parking space, but they also maybe perhaps can go when they're going to the museum, maybe just go to the front of the line, go to the handicap door. But also she's dealing with a lot of emotions. Perhaps when she goes to school, a lot of her friends will just wonder why her brother's in a wheelchair, why he can't do this, why is he 15 and he's still wearing diapers, a lot of these things that she has to overcome and explain. And she realizes that life is sometimes frustrating for the family and that she will have to overcome these things. And also another interesting thing that she said to me was just that her parents spend all the money on his equipment, but when she wants to buy, say, a new shirt, she has to use her babysitting money.
You feel like maybe there's resentment that may build up
there. Exactly.
And it's understandable in kids.
Right. And her whole point was, obviously I know because I work with children with special needs, but she just doesn't want other people to feel sorry for her. She wants everyone to know that they are still a family. They're not aliens. They're not crazy people. They are a family. And they still do the same thing, just as their friends do.
You know, it's interesting. I would think that there's a special issue for teenagers because they're so desperate
exactly.
to want to fit in.
Right.
They want everything to be just like everybody else. And here they've got this major neon flashing sign that says,
we're
different. And so that must be a big hurdle.
Definitely. Especially even maybe dating somebody. As a boyfriend or girlfriend comes over to their house, like they might have anxiety thinking, uh-oh, maybe he's not going to like me just because my brother's different.
When I was a freshman in college, I was dating a boy from a town not far away from where the school was. And his younger brother was mentally retarded. Mm-hmm. And I was going home with him for a weekend. And before I went with him, you know, his family had invited me to come for whatever it was. He said, I think you need to know about my brother, my brother's home. His brother was living in a different place.
Okay.
But he was home for a certain number of weeks at that time. And he said, now my brother can talk. And he started giving me explanations about what he could do and what his limitations were. And I was very grateful that he did that. And I thought it was interesting that he was quite aware that he needed to do that before somebody came to stay
Definitely.
At his house.
And also, the girl was telling me that if her friends didn't accept her brother, she just didn't think that it was worth her being their friend.
That's very mature.
Definitely. She is a very, very mature. I think she's just been through many, many things, and so she is mature. As I was saying, that siblings do develop great leadership skills. They are mature just because they have more responsibility than maybe other children without siblings with disability.
They're defining who they are, which is what teenagers do, but with a lot more different components than other kids have.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about the siblings of children with disabilities.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Robin Winston about siblings of children with disabilities.
If you could give parents a few important tips for this kind of situation, what would they be?
I'm glad you asked, because there are definitely a lot of tips that maybe parents sometimes overlook. First and most important thing is never compare your children, because each child's different. They each have their own personality. They each have their own strengths, weaknesses, and you just cannot compare your children. You can't play favorites. You can't spend all your attention with one child. Even if you have a child with disabilities, obviously they need a lot of attention, but so do your other children. If at all necessary, you might need to maybe get a babysitter for the child with a disability so you can take the sibling out, because they deserve it just like the child with a disability does. Plan family activities that are fun and accessible for everyone. I'll go back to the amusement park example. Obviously, you're not going to take your family to an amusement park if your child is in a wheelchair and he can't participate in any of the activities. That obviously wouldn't be fair, so you have to take into consideration everyone's strengths and weaknesses of the family. And also, it's very, very important to let each child know that they are special in their own way. Often, I think that parents sometimes, because they're so busy and that because they are so bogged down, they sometimes could forget about other children who do not have disabilities.
Are there any other don'ts that you wanted to suggest?
Definitely don't think of your other children as being other caregivers. A family consists of a mother and a father, and some families, and children. So children should not be assumed that they will do caregiving skills. Obviously, they will help out. Maybe they'll drive their sibling somewhere. They will maybe babysit. But they also have to live their own life. Some other tips for parents. Parents should definitely make one-on-one time for the children. Encourage the children without disabilities to express their feelings, because obviously they are thinking about a lot. If they don't speak about it, then no one's ever going to know exactly how they're feeling.
So parents need to make time
for all of their children.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also try not, as much as possible, I know it's very difficult, but try not to use the other siblings as caregivers, because they are your children. They're not also parents. There's one other thing I wanted to say. There's a program, it's a national network called Siblings for Significant Change. And basically that builds support for siblings with special needs, and they train siblings to be advocates for both themselves and their family. So it's great for siblings to be able to understand and how to talk with people about their disability. Their headquarters are in New York, and I have a 1-800 number. And that number is 1-800-841-8251.
That goes right into our last question, which is a question about what resources you would recommend. So that is first on the list. Are there other resources that you would like to leave our parent listeners
Definitely,
with?
I would love to. Here are some books that I recommend to my parents at the hospital. One is called It Isn't Fair, Siblings of Children with Disabilities, and that's by Stanley Klein, K-L-E-I-N.
Is this for parents to read or for kids to
read? It's for parents to understand how they should parent their children. It basically shows different perspectives on relationships of children with disabilities and how they interact together. Another book for parents is called Sib Shops, and it's workshops for siblings of children with special needs. And that's what I was talking about before. And that just basically is an overview of Sib Shops, and it's a national organization. And that's by Donald J. Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. And there's also a website that I would like to tell you about. And basically it's so you can find Sib Shops by state. So that website is www.thearc.org/siblingsupport/sibshops-directory.com.
Since that was a long web address, can you just repeat that while people are dashing for their pencils?
Yes, I love to. It's www.thearc, which is thearc.org/siblingsupport/sibshops. That's sibshops-directory.com.
Well, our special thanks to Robin Winston for enhancing our awareness of the kinds of issues involved in dealing with siblings of disabled children. So thank you very much for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 217. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with very generous support from the Hospital for Sick Children of Washington, D.C. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.